I think worship just does something for you. Does something in you. Does something to you. It just changes atmospheres. Amen. It worships the weary away. Amen. Builds up your inner man. Amen. It sure does. And I just believe that it washes over you. And just, you know, the song we just sang, I Exalt Thee. To exalt Jesus is to make everything else smaller. And so what you're really saying when you say that is, I exalt him above my anxiety. I exalt him above my despair. I exalt him above my sickness. I exalt him above my financial concerns, my marital problems, my job situation, whatever it is. I choose to exalt the name of Jesus above everything. Hallelujah. Because the scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord. Amen. How many of you can say this morning, he's Lord of your life? He's Lord of my life today. And so worship reminds me of that. I mean, worship honors God. But it's not just to honor God, but it changes the atmosphere. And I believe that it changes things in our mindset. It changes things in our heart. I had to do some visitations and some things like that yesterday. And going down the road, I just turned my radio on. And I listened to my praise and worship going down the road. And just let it just build up. Just build me up. Just, you know, just me and the radio. If I choose to sing, nobody even cares. If you pass me on the road and I look like I'm talking to myself, I'm probably singing. I could be talking to myself. Now, don't get me wrong. I have been known to talk to myself. Sometimes you just got to talk to somebody on the same level as you. Can you say amen? Right. Hallelujah. So I might be talking to myself, but I might be doing some praise and worship. Because God speaks to me in my car. God speaks to me on the lawnmower. Although my lawnmower has been broke. Amen. Amen. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. I renewed my Sirius XM radio so me and my granddaughter could listen to praise and worship on the way to school in the morning. That was one of my main reasons, one of my main focus. And sometimes we just talk and sometimes we listen to praise and worship. But it takes our focus to another place. Amen. And I don't know how your week has been, I don't know how your month has been, or how your year has been, but how many know sometimes life gets crazy? Sometimes life gets crazy. And sometimes we can just have those moments, you know, we talked about this last week, there's some, you know, there's just sometimes when you just need to feel the wings of the mercy seat wrap around you. You just need to feel the loving arms of a father wrap around you. Hallelujah, and just remind you who you are. Remind you that it's going to be okay. Amen.
Wednesday night, we missed that service. That was ties into what I think you talked about. It was just, his life is in his song. His songs come to life when you listen to them. When I listen to his CD, it's all about his life.
Yes, it is.
And last week was a disaster. Started Friday and it goes to Friday. You know, it's just crazy, right? We all have them, but it was really crazy. But Wednesday night was an open time of salvation. Listen to him sing, and then to get to talk to him a little bit. I probably could have sat and talked to that man for an hour. I don't know if he'd had the time, but his song, his life is in his songs, and he brings that out.
Yes, he does.
And when he sings some of those songs and told about his life, it's like there's nothing bigger and nothing that can make you happier than the blood of Jesus over you. And no matter how bad you're down or how bad you're out, right, he always came out of it. No matter what was going on in his personal life, what was going on, but that Wednesday night service, I was so glad we were able to come up because that was awesome. That was just awesome.
Amen. We had a great night Wednesday night, Gail and Johnny.
That whatever is over my head is
already under his feet. So as long as I'm covered, and you know, we are covered by the blood, and that never changes. But as you say, when we start to exalt him, it starts to bring us above our problems, above our situation, above everything that's pulling us down. So I found out a long time ago, whatever's over my head, it's already under his feet.
That's it. Amen. If it's over your head, it's under his feet. There's your words of wisdom for today. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Scripture says he will make our enemies his footstool. It's under his feet. Yes. Yes. Amen. And so we were honored to have Johnny and Gail with us Wednesday night and for praise and worship and testimony time and some time of fellowship. And I heard from them last night just saying what a wonderful time they had here. Thank you to everyone for their hospitality and treating them so well, for blessing them. And they just were grateful and had a great time while they were here. So thank you for everyone who helped put refreshments and things together in a time of fellowship. And God is good. Amen. And I love that he knows what we need even before we even know sometimes. Sister Wilda, you're right. The scripture says that even before we pray, that he knows what we need. And he is an intercessor, and he cries out, you know, and he intercedes on our behalf even when we don't know. And the scripture says that even when we don't know how to pray. Anybody ever been there? You ever just didn't know how to pray? I think I might have heard that exact statement this morning. You know, that like, I just don't even know how to pray. You know, sometimes when you just don't even know how to pray, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit inside of you makes intercessions? The scripture says with groanings and utterings that cannot even be comprehended by us. But I'm thankful that when I feel my spirit kick in. Amen. I was thinking this morning as I was standing here and thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit and just times in my life where I have felt God, I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God just stepped in. I was ready to do a funeral a year or so ago, and it was for a very dear friend, a very close friend of ours. And when I was asked to do it, I said, oh, dear Jesus, because I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And out of honor to the friends, I wanted to do it. But if you know me, my name's Lisa, and I'm a cryaholic. And so if it's emotional, I'm going to cry about it, you know. And there's nothing worse than going to a funeral and the preacher's falling apart, right? You know, like, you're supposed to be the strong one. And so I wanted to say all these great things, you know, and I wanted to come off as being strong, but I'm just not sometimes, you know. I'm just, let me rephrase that. I am strong, but sometimes it comes out in tears. So, you know, and so I stepped back into a room, and I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, I need you right now. I need, because I could feel myself, you know. If you've ever been up behind the microphone, you know, sometimes you know you got it together, and sometimes you think, I'm not together yet. You know, and I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, I need you right now. And I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, I felt like as if the Holy Spirit poured down over my head. I felt it start at the top of my head and go down to the soles of my feet to the point I went, there it is. There it is. I mean, it was really a situation like that. I felt that, I can say, several times in my life where I literally have felt like the Holy Ghost just opened up the heavens and poured down over my head, that even in the midst of chaos, there is a peace that can come. Come on, somebody. And so sometimes I think we forget to draw on the resources that we have. And there's sometimes when you just got to say, help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus, I need you now. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. I need that peace that passes understanding. I need that peace that you spoke to the disciples. I need that peace in the midst of the storm. And when the disciples were in the midst of the storm and the boat was rocking and the storm was all around, and what their cry was is, Master, don't you care that we perish? And I got to be real honest with you this morning. I've been right there crying with them. Lord, don't you care where I'm at and what's going on? But at the moment that they cried out, even if they didn't say it right, Master, don't you care? See, because you can question his methods, you can question his motives, but you don't ever have to question if he cares. The scripture says, casting all of your cares upon him. What? Because he cares for you. So you don't ever have to ask if he cares. He cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to try to, if we can this morning, to finish the seventh saying from the cross. And so we've been working on the seven sayings of the cross, and then we had, you know, to do a couple other ministry opportunities. So we had to, I don't like to really interrupt a series when I'm working on it, but, you know, the Lord has different plans sometimes, and that's okay. But I want to finish with the last of the seven sayings of the cross, and that one, that scripture being out of Luke 23, verse 46 through 48. Let's just go there this morning. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Another scripture, another translation says, I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Now the scripture tells us, last week we talked about it, the scripture where he talked about Jesus said, it is finished. And I got to tell you, I'm still trying to figure everything out that was finished on the cross. That when Jesus lifted up his voice and he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. I don't think he meant, this is the end and I'm dying. I think what he meant is, I have finished everything that I set out to do. I have fulfilled every covenant. I have completed every debt that ever had to be paid. Everything that needed to be accomplished in the cross and in the death of Jesus Christ was finished at that moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the power that came from the cross, that when Jesus said, it is finished, the scripture says, and when he cried with a loud voice, the veil of the temple was rent or torn from the top to the bottom, from heaven to earth. I believe when Jesus cried out, it is finished on the cross, heaven touched earth, and there were same things that began to happen. How many know there were some earthquakes? There was some shaking in the earth. Have you ever had your earthquake? Have you ever had a shaking in your life so powerful that you said, you know what? This has to be divine. This has to be a moment. This has to be God's purpose. And it says the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Now, without going into all the details of the tabernacle of Moses, if you've never studied the tabernacle of Moses, you need to. There are some power. Or do we have any gamers in here that like to play games or, you know, use icons and things like that? How many know there are certain things on the computer that have icons, right? And when you see that little icon, you know what that means. If you do anything, how many know that scriptures are full of icons that are symbols of things that took place in the tabernacle of Moses? I mean, Moses was a mediator. Right? Moses was the mediator. He was in charge of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. And he was the one who got the Ten Commandments and instituted the law and built the tabernacle and the brazen laver and the altar of incense and the most holy place. There was a mercy seat. Anybody know about the mercy seat? And it was a box called the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? If not, you need to watch it. But at the end, don't look, because your face will melt off, right? Because nobody ever saw the mercy seat except what? The high priest. And so there are some things that are pretty close to biblical about that movie. When they get in there and they find the ark, how many know only the most high priest had the right to go beyond the veil, to go into where that ark was, that box, that mercy seat that had a lid on and had cherubims that stood, one angel to the left and one angel to the right. And the high priest would go in once a year and he would offer the blood of a spotless lamb on that mercy seat, and he would have asked God for the atonement of the people for another year. Atonement means to be put at one mint. In other words, we are one again. Your sins have been covered. But how many know the blood of a lamb in the Old Testament only had the power to cover your sins? But aren't you glad that under the new covenant in the New Testament, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. And I want to tell you, you know, Sister Arlene already said it this morning. So many times we try to cover ourselves with leaves of a fig tree that is our own attempt to cover ourselves and our nakedness before God. And when God came to them in the garden, he said, "Who told you you were naked? You were just like I created you, and you believed a lie, and now you're trying to cover yourself with fig trees." But how many know God on a tree called life on a cross of Calvary covered you once and for all? You do not have to live in your past. You do not have to live in your sins. You don't even have to identify with that old creature, because you have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So when Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished," the scripture says the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Every priest that would have been in within miles of Jerusalem at the Passover would have known that the hand of God, because they said that that curtain was the thickness or more of a man's hand, to be torn from the top to the bottom could have only been done by the proclamation of the voice of a mediator of a new covenant that said, "What separated you from God before now has just been opened." The scripture said, "When the veil of his flesh was torn." I mean, when that soldier walked up to him and pierced his side, the scripture says blood and water flowed out of his side. The veil of his flesh was torn, which now gives you access to the Father, that you don't have to go to another mediator, but you can go directly to him who is Christ Jesus, who is your advocate, who stands at ever on the right hand of God at your defense. He's your Perry Mason. Hallelujah. How many are old enough for Perry Mason? Thank you for being honest this morning. I mean, Perry Mason never lost a case, right? Even if it looked like it down to the last moment, he came out with some kind of thing and got you off. He became your Perry Mason. Aren't you thankful that he's your greatest defender? Hallelujah. And here's the deal, because most of us were guilty as charged. But he said, "But I've already paid for that. You can't cash in an old debt because I've already paid for that." Hallelujah. You can't be retried for the same crime. You need to look at somebody and say, "Paid in full." It's been paid in full this morning. And what we do sometimes is hang ourselves for the same old crime over and over, when we really need to realize that his mercy and his grace is rich and it's full and it's alive and it's accessible to you today. And so when he cried out with a loud voice, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and now you have access to a high priest who can be touched. Hallelujah. And so then Jesus said, the last thing he says from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," or "I commit my spirit." Now, when we look at the seven sayings of the cross, how many know the first saying started out what? Anybody remember what the first one was? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the last thing he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Now, we talked about this early in the middle of these. If you have not heard set before us. Let me just tell you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Samson, they just handed off a baton. It didn't stop there. It didn't stop in Hebrews 11, but Hebrews 12, how many know, is the next generation of the Hall of Faith? But there have been those behind us who have handed off a baton to us in the race that we're running, and we proceed with a backup. I mean, we got backup this morning. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, you know, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it back up again. But in Psalms 31, I want to read it real quick to you. I read a commentary last night that said that Psalm 31 was probably something similar to the bedtime prayer of a Jewish boy, as in, now I lay me down to sleep. Anybody remember that? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then we always say, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And so every night when I prayed that prayer, I was afraid I was going to die before morning. I was like, because all of a sudden, I believed that was possible. I didn't think about that till I started praying that prayer. So now they've revised, it's the Revised Standard Version, the Message version of it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. Now, isn't that so much more precious? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Psalms 31, and I want to read the whole chapter, so stick with me here. You just got to track with me for a moment. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. How many can say amen? For in a house of defense to save me. You are my house of defense. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. And here it is, Psalms 31:5, where he quotes from the Psalms, only he adds, Father, that they may know that you and I are one. Father, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I mean, Jesus was in anguish on the cross. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear of mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mine. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. How many know Jesus silenced the grave? Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of man thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now remember, if Jesus is speaking that from the cross, he says out of verse 5, into thine hands I commit my spirit. Every student that ever studied the Torah, studied the scriptures and the prophets, would have known what the rest of that chapter said. Not only does Jesus receive comfort, I believe, from that chapter, but he's also pointing them back to remember what the scripture says and what I am accomplishing through the work and the person of the cross. How many of God trusted, Jesus trusted his Father in the midst of agony and suffering? I mean, sometimes when you're going through things, it's hard to trust. That's why you need somebody to trust with you. You need somebody to stand with you. You need somebody to say an encouraged word in due season. You need somebody to remind you what the word says. You need somebody to speak strength to your body. Because here's the deal. You can go through your struggles with him or without him, but I recommend the latter of the two. Amen? And we can cry out sometimes and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? I mean, no, he's not the author of the storm, but he is the navigator. He's not the author of your pain, but he can use your pain. And he can bring peace and comfort in the midst of your life. And so I love that. As I was thinking this morning, as I was getting ready, the scripture says that Jesus says to them, into thy hands I commit or commend my spirit. And I was just thinking about that this morning. I thought about his hands. How many know it was the same hands that formed the creation, that hung the moon, the stars, that separated the light from the day and the firmaments, the same hands that called it into existence, the same hands that scooped out from the dust of the earth and formed man and breathed into the man and man became a living soul. Those are the hands he committed his spirit to. The same hands that rolled back the Red Sea. Scripture says the horse and his chariots he has thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. I mean, the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Hallelujah. The same hands that held back the lions in Daniel's den. Those hands. The same hands that did the handwriting on the wall, the same hands that reached out down to those who were hurting, those who were sick, those who were impoverished. The scripture says that he said, let the little children come, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And the scripture says that he put them, drew them in, he got them up on his lap, and he put his hands on them. I don't know about you, but I have been touched by those hands. I've been touched by the hands of God. Hallelujah. And when Jesus says that, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Those hands. And I don't know about you this morning, but there's things in my life sometimes that I have to be reminded to commit those things to the Lord. The scripture says, that he is in 2 Timothy 1, 12 through 14. Go ahead and bring that one up, Lisa. And so I ask you this morning, what have you committed to him? What is causing your agony today? What is causing your, seems like your death? What is causing your suffering this morning? When Jesus walked through death and suffering and agony, he committed his life into the hands of his Father. And so today, Father, I commit my life into your hands. I commit my kids to your hands. I commit my marriage to your hands. I commit my job to your hands. I commit my son, my daughter into your hands today. I commit my future, my retirement, my everything I commit it to you today, Lord, because you, with those same hands that you rolled back the Red Sea, you are able to do far above and beyond anything that I can think and comprehend. Because 2 Timothy 1 and 2 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know that I know that I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to what? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What have you committed to him today? Because he is able to keep it. What you commit to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we try our best to be the savior of the world. We try our best to save everybody. Am I in the room by myself this morning? But how many know I'm thankful that I have a savior? There is a Savior. It's not me. But I'm thankful that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, that is able to do above and beyond what I can do. I say all the time, the Holy Ghost can go places I can't go, say things I can't say, do things I can't do. And so I commit those things into his hands. Verse 14, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He is able to keep that which I have committed. In closing this morning,
the key to that scripture is committing it to him. We so often give it to God and then go back and pick it up. And then we worry about it, and then we give it back to God, and then we go back and get it again. The idea is to commit it to him and give it to him and leave it there. And that's the hard part that we have to do is because in our flesh, you know, we just come on and keep reminding him, you know, he hurt us the first time. But the secret of that is to commit it and then leave it there.
Amen. To commit it means to leave it. And don't pick it back up. We unload our baggage, and then before we leave, we load it all back on. Carry it all back home with us. Amen. Isaiah 49 and 16. I just needed to tell you this morning in closing, I got tattooed. I got tattooed in the palm of his hand. Psalms 49:16 says, you have tattooed me in the palm of your hand. You want to talk about a tattoo? Looks a whole lot like a nail prints. That when Jesus stretched out to his hand to Thomas, he said, I know, Thomas, you struggle sometimes to believe. He said, I don't know, boys. He said, I can't believe unless I can see the nail prints in his hands, or I can see the spirit inside. I just don't know if I can believe. What I love about Jesus, he's faithful to meet us where we are. And so he walks up to Thomas with a tattoo of a nail print. Not just the tattoo, but he's got an actual nail print. Blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen. But blessed are all of those who've not seen and that you can still believe. I love that. No matter what, he has me, a picture of me and you right there, tattooed for every man, right in the palm of his hand. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands, I commit my future. Into your hands, I commit my life. Into your hands, I commit my mom at the foot of the cross. Into your hands, I commit every one of my 12 boys that I hung with for 3.5 years who are scattered and broken and hurting. But it's all right. because they're tattooed in the palm of my hand. And Jesus went back to the disciples and he ministered to them. And even in their circumstances prior to the grave or the resurrection, how many know everybody can believe after the resurrection? But what about the 3 days until you see life come forth? When it still looks like it's dead, can you still believe? You can, because he's got you tattooed right there in the palm of his hands. Lord, today, stand to your feet. Today, I commit every part of my life to your care. Job promotions, finances, mortgages, co-workers, sickness, children, whatever it is, Lord, I commit it into your hands and I choose to trust you. Hallelujah. As Beth sings a song this morning.